Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Today we are going to complete Seder Zroim, what is Simcha, in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, which gives a single word in a pasuk in Yeshayahu to relate to each of the six orders of Shas. Zroim is called Emuna. V'haya Emuna Sitecha. So Tosfos asks, why is Zroim connected to Emuna? Because you have to have some faith that what you put into the ground is going to produce something. It takes a profound investment to feel that this seed is going to be endowed with the power to produce what it came from. It decomposes into the ground after we bury it, and then it produces something much greater than it was, which is what the Gemara says happens when a person dies. Okay, this is now our last Masechta, Maseches Bikurim, and it's the mitzvah of the first fruits. It was mentioned in last week's parsha. Reishis Bikurei Ad Masecha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha. It's mentioned numerous times in the Torah, three times two times in Shmos that connect to not eating milk and meat. And then in Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Kisavo, the Torah tells us the way we bring our first fruits has to be accompanied with a declaration. One is called Hava, just bringing the fruits. One is called Mikra Bikurim, where we recite what is very famously mentioned in the Haggadah that begins with Arami Oved Avi. It's fascinating that the central point of the Haggadah, the drash of those psukim in the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, it comes from the mitzvah of Bikurim. Our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all he does for us, all he did for us, manifests itself in this section of the Torah as what we say when we are so fortunate as to have land and the fruits to give back. Is great gratitude that we are not just receivers, but that we can also be givers. And when we give something, the best is our first of something. The first things, the first grain is called truma. The first dough is called challah. The first shearings of our sheep is called reishis geiz. The first born of a human and animals, b'chor adam, b'chor behema. Right, b'chor behema is limited to sheep, goats, and cows, and donkeys. That's mentioned right before, so the first thing right after we left Egypt. In fact, the very first thing Hashem told Moshe to tell Paro is, b'ni b'chori Yisrael, our firstborn is Israel. It's a very important element of the entire redemption story. It begins with those words to Paro, and it ends with what's known as Makas Bechoros, where God passed over our homes and exacted the revenge upon the Egyptians for what they did to us. I explained a few times ago that we did Orla, that the real reason behind Orla is so that our first gifts from any tree we plant, which is known as Revai, should be good enough fruits. Because if we give it within the first 3 years, those fruits are usually stunted in their growth. So let's wait till the fourth year so that the first fruits that we bring to Jerusalem in celebration of the gratitude for this tree I was able to plant, so that's known as Revai, which is also the first of something. The Minchas Omer is the first grain that grows in Israel. We celebrate that on the second day of Pesach by bringing a barley offering. And then the first wheat in the Beis HaMikdash is known as the Shtei HaLechem. So many firsts. I just mentioned eight or nine of them. And Hevel understood this when he brought his korban, Mibachoros Tzono Umichel Behen, from the choicest of his flocks, from the best of his flocks, from the first of his flocks, as opposed to Cain, who just brought me pri ha'adama. He didn't get this message. He didn't bring me racious pri ha'adama. Okay, so this is the nature of the mitzvah itself. And there are only three chapters in the entire Masechta. And the Masechta begins with the interface between the two parts of the mitzvah, the hava'ah and the mikra, how we bring it and how we recite the psukim along with bringing it. There's some cases where we bring the land, the fruits, but we can't recite the psukim because I didn't own the land under which the fruits were taken. If I don't own the land, then I can't say the land you gave me has produced these fruits. Thank you, and I'm very grateful. So the Masechta begins with that issue. The question appears in the Gemara about converts. Can a convert say the land you gave my ancestors when a convert is not descended from someone who was given the land of Israel? But the halacha decides that since Avraham is considered an Av Hamon Goyim, he's the father of many nations, so Avraham is not only the father of the Jewish people, he's also the father of converts as well. And therefore, according to that opinion, converts can say the land you gave to my forefathers. And that's why they can say in Shemona Esrei, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. God is the God of their fathers as well. The Masechta says that the best way to bring the Bikurim is between Shavuos and Sukkos. There is an opinion that even before Shavuos you can bring it, but nobody holds that you can say the Psukim then. The time of Simcha is the time of a holiday, and it says to be happy when you bring your first fruits. So why do we bring it Shavuos? Because that's when the fruits are all in, and they're all starting, the grains and the fruits are all starting to grow in Israel, and well endowed, and they're all fully, many are fully ripe. So we start to collect them anytime after Shavuos. And that's why the Torah refers to Shavuos as Chag HaBikurim. That's what we call it in our davening, the festival of the first fruits. And we can bring them until Sukkos, right, with the Mikra, because Sukkos is also a time of joy. And Sukkos is also still a time where the fruits are growing in Israel. But after Sukkos, then it's already the rainy season, and it's not a good time to be making a trip to Yerushalayim anyway. It makes sense to go when you have a pilgrimage. You go in Sukkos, Shavuos, bring it then. Okay, but the Mishnah says that you have until Chanukah to bring the fruits, but you don't get to do the Mikra after Sukkos. Okay, it's one of four times in all of Mishnayos. This is the second one in Shas where Chanukah is mentioned. First one was back in Maseches Shviyos regarding the Shemitah law, and then you'll see two more in two other Masechtas, Moed Katan and Bava Kamma. Okay, that's the first parak. Second parak, he speaks about the relative differences. This is one of my favorite chapters in all of Shas. It talks about the relative stringencies and leniencies of Truma, Bikurim, and Maaser Sheni. It has ramifications for numerous Masechtas all over Shas where these issues come up, and it's really a great joy to look at these alumnus behind learning the differences between the three. The Truma, the food, the first fruit grains and fruits we give to the Kohen, Bikurim, our Masechta now, the first fruits, and Maaser Sheni, the tenth of the crops that we take to Jerusalem to eat there in a state of ritual purity. So this second parak interfaces very much with the Talmud Bavli. Of course, there is no Talmud Bavli on Bikurim, just the Yerushalmi. And the first chapter interfaces very much with Bava Basra about when you sell, let's say you sell trees, you sell the land beneath the trees and all the land that is, let's say you find an oil reserve. Who owns that oil reserve? The one who bought the trees or the one who sold the land? So this is Bava Basra issues, and they very much interface with the first chapter of Bikurim as well. And the third chapter finally tells us how do we go about preparing Bikurim. We have to wrap around the first fruit that becomes ripe. Not all fruits become ripe at the same time. The fruit at the top of the tree becomes ripe more quickly. It gets more sunlight. So when you see the first fruits becoming ripe, the first olive, the first... It's this Bikurim is given from the seven fruits that Israel is blessed with. So barley and wheat, and that it includes all grains. Some commentaries say that it's only barley and wheat. Others say that it's the barley and wheat means to represent all other grains. And then the other five fruits with which Israel is blessed: olives, grapes, pomegranates, dates, and figs. And some say in the Gemara that you should, or you can also put peaches and plums and apples and other fruits on the tray that you bring to the Beis HaMikdash. But others are against it because then people might only bring those. Those are only to make it look beautiful. They would put garlands and branches and flowers along the big tray, which is called the tene in the Torah. And so only at the very end of the Masechta do we know about all the celebrations. And when anyone was on their way to Jerusalem with their fruits, the Gemara says you would stop. Everyone would stop what they're doing and stand. Even a chasen and kala on the way to their bridal canopy would stop to applaud the people coming to Jerusalem with their first fruits. Even more so than, let's say, a great Rebbe who's walking by in certain circumstances. So this is the nature of the way the Bikurim were brought in great, great celebration. Although the Torah doesn't give a shiur for Bikurim, remember, Eilu Dvim Sheilaim Shiur HaPeava Bikurim, the rabbis tell us that it's 1/60 of whatever we produce. And the numerical value of the word tene, which is the vessel that the Torah tells us to put into, happens to be 60. It's also a fascinating cheshbon, is that the Gemara in Mishnah in Seches Kalim says a tene is a half of a saw. And the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia says that a donkey can carry 15 sa'a. And the Gemara in Ksuvis says that every tree in Israel bears the weight of that two donkeys can carry. So that means every tree bears 30 sa'a, and a tene is a half a sa'a. There you go. Half a sa'a to 30 sa'a is 1/60. That's why the Torah tells us to take a tene. Okay, and then finally, the Gemara says that we should, when they say recite the psukim arami or vedavi, the Kohen recites the words along so as not to embarrass anybody who brings their fruits, who can't read Hebrew so well or can't pronounce it so well. So it's really in the Kohen's hands to help them along. We do it for everybody, right? We do that in certain things, like under a chuppah, we tell everybody now say after me, hare, hare. So not to embarrass someone who is nervous or might skip a word or something like that. Okay, we learn that from the Bikurim. Okay, we just finished Maseches Bikurim, and we just finished Seder Zeroyim, or the Simcha. The Rambam says that every last Masechta in a Seder is connected to the next Seder. So the next Seder is Moed. So Bikurim is very much connected to holidays, more than any other Masechta in Seder Moed. I'm sorry, Seder Zeroyim. So it's connected to all these holidays, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Chanukah. Shavuot is called Chag HaBikurim. So it's very much a holiday Masechta, and therefore is a nice segue into the next Masechta, which we'll do Thursday in Mitzvah Shem, Masechta Shabbos. See you all then. Have a great day, everybody, and Hakol B'Seder. Stay healthy, stay well, and stay safe.